We're here at Fringe Central into the last week. This year, Fringe Review created a page called War at the Fringe because there are so many shows, much more than last year, exploring different aspects of war. And this show, Kokoda, is the World War II battle that saved Australia. And that's going to be new to me to hear about. And I'm joined by the writer, and your name is?
Peter Madden.
Peter, tell us about, first of all, go back to the moment of birth of the writing. When did you decide this was a play you needed to write?
I read this, the main source of this 10 years ago, but I was actually going through a flea market in Melbourne and came across a Time Life magazine that talked about losses in Vietnam for the Americans. And I thought, well, I would like to think that there's an Australian story that is of similar potency, and it occurred to me that this Kokoda story that I'd read before might be just that.
Is this known in Australia?
The Kokoda track is known by, that's a familiar term, a familiar known to people, but it's the story is not very well known. The Australian war stories are based around Gallipoli and World War I sacrifices in France, and the Kokoda story is undertold and underappreciated, and yet it is our finest moment.
Now, once you've got an idea to write something, what's your process then of getting that into a script?
Well, it's just, you know, to go through the source material, fathom out what I think might be the arcs and the narrative that sort of underlines it all, and then, you know, just churn through the drafting.
Yeah. But say for a younger writer wondering how you do that, so where do you find that source material? Is that libraries? Is that video footage? Is that talking to people that might remember it?
Well, for me, most of the good stuff has come from books and just reading things that just say, you know, this is a great story, needs to, you know, can and could be told. And, you know, then go about the task of whether you think it could be a play or a film or whatever and work from there.
Right. So if I was following you around, is this a huge desk covered in paper or was this a laptop? What does that look like?
It's a desk covered in paper. I do a lot of drafting sort of out in coffee shops for an hour or two a day and then, you know, revise from there.
And do you have read-throughs along the way or did you get to a pretty finished script and then said, let's go around the table?
Well, because it was pretty early on in my career, I kind of got to the end and then, you know, asked people what they thought, whether they thought it was potentially going to hold up. So this version that we have here, the original show was 75 minutes, so we had to prune it back to be within the Edinburgh 60, and, you know, I had help with her dramaturge. And all that, I think, has made it a much stronger story, a more listenable, more reactive story. So that's been a very good process. But that's taken, you know, what now, 3 seasons.
Most writers I've spoken to that research a lot end up with it too long, don't they?
Yeah, I think you can try and cram just too much in. And it's not easy to sort of sort out the wheat from the chaff and what really is essential.
So what was dropped?
The principal bet was dropped was commentary around the Australian military leader, a bloke called Blamey, but more particularly the American leader, MacArthur. And I don't think MacArthur... I think MacArthur has had... history has been very kind to Douglas MacArthur, and I don't think he was anything like as brilliant as the stories have been allowed him. And he was involved in this. He did some... sent too many men to unnecessary deaths in forcing the Japanese off New Guinea, I don't think he was great. So there was a lot more commentary around him sort of interfering in the Australian political and army process.
Do you remember, and was there a moment when you suddenly looked at that script and go, right, this is ready, this is finished?
Yeah, I think there's a point, especially when you're not very experienced as a writer, where you say, I can't do anything more. I need people to now have a look at this, to read it, give commentary on it, because I don't think I can distance myself from the work to be able to, refine it any better without running the risk of, in fact, cutting the wrong bits or refining the wrong bits.
And then as a playwright, at some point your imagination has to meet all of this research. So how do you create character?
The book, the principal source material, spoke about this group of young men who were taken off the streets of Melbourne. And so they're what we might call bogans, not very educated, unemployed at the time. I know those kinds of characters reasonably well at home, although it's not my kind of background. I played football with them, against them. So it wasn't that hard to kind of sense this person and what he might say and do.
Yeah, so you were drawing on your own life.
Yes, but not so necessarily my own experience, but people I've met and so forth, yeah.
And then as writer, what then, how does that transfer into the rehearsal room?
The language that is used and the inflections that are used, just trying to keep it simple so that, you know, we don't sort of overdo the stresses and so forth. So this character is a very innocent, naive, and one of the major arcs of the show is that he grows up. He's notionally in his early 20s. He's volunteered what he thought was a warm holiday out of Melbourne, and all of a sudden he's facing this rampaging war, and he's facing people who are dying around him, his mates are dying, and he grows up very rapidly. So it was that arc of going from completely naive, underprepared at the army's fault, and then having to do this heroic work that in fact turned the course of the Pacific War.
And in those early rehearsals, once it had gone into the mouth, you know, the performer, did you then go back and rewrite, or was it confirmation that what you'd written didn't need much change?
No, pretty much I was happy, but again, I mean, at that time I was pretty inexperienced. I didn't really have a sense of what should work, but it actually worked pretty well. We didn't do a lot of changes. We actually sort of added some additional things like videos and sounds for the second season. It's only in this season where we had to bring back the 20 minutes that there was significant carving out that went on.
It's come to the Edinburgh Fringe with good reviews. You're getting good reviews up here. Now you think about it, if you look at it and put that script in front of you, are you proud?
Oh, yeah, I'm very pleased. I think, you know, obviously you see it and read it a lot of times. I think one of the tests is, can you bear to see it and read it again? And, yeah, I'm very pleased with the way the show's come together. I'm very pleased with it as a production. You know, Todd's done a very good job in delivering that on the stage. The responses from audience have actually been pretty incredible. We've had lots of ladies who have been in tears afterwards. People have gone up and hugged him afterwards. The response on from audience members on various, you know, Twitter and the Ed Fringe site has been, you know, very, very strong. So, you know, if you're moving people like that, I think you've got a story that's worked.
Yeah. And so the proud writer here at the Edinburgh Fringe, then the journey goes on. Has a new idea overlapped since you've written it? Do you finish one thing and start another?
I was fortunate to have a friend of mine suggest the story of a bloke called Hubert Wilkins, who was also an Australian, an Adelaide, well, from South Australia. He was what might be described as the last great explorer. He traversed more space in the Arctic and Antarctic circles and more new ground than anybody else in history. He is the most extraordinary character, and this is going to be a big claim for him. I think he's probably going to be my next 5 years of my life will be writing material around his stories. He is just remarkable.
So the writing process begins again. Thanks very much for talking to Fringe Review.
Thank you.